This is a story by George Chapo Blackwater. I have made attempts to read it 2-3 times, and somehow I just will never, of course, be able to get close to sounding the way Chapo read it, but I'm sure it can be appreciated for its beauty and, you know, in its content. I used to help her dig through the large bins until we got the entire bolt out. Sometimes there were a few oil spots on the outer layer of cloth, but these would be unrolled and then the rest of the belt would be perfectly fine. During World War II, sewing factories in the garment district located at Skid Row section of Los Angeles would discard all the thread and half bolts of cloth left at the end of a run of GI shirts and hospital gowns. Entire factories were devoted to the salvage of rags. All but the best cotton and wool were discarded. Synthetic cloth was thrown into the trash, and my mother knew where these throws lay hidden. Going to the garment district with my mother was an adventure for me when I was a little boy. Seeking cloth treasure was taken seriously because from this treasure came new shirts for me and my dad, dresses and blouses for my sister, curtains for the house. The last person that would get anything out of this endeavor was, you guessed it, my mother. We'd roll up several shopping bags and she'd take my hand. We'd walk to the end of the nine car line across the street from Lincoln Park. There used to be a skating rink there. Blacks were allowed to skate there on Tuesdays. Thursday, Mexican night. I wasn't allowed out at night, so I longed to go to skate. We'd look in the empty rink, and we walked by, and my mother would touch on my hair and tell me, "We're going to take you skating on a Saturday." There was a firm commitment in her voice that only became clear to me as I grew older. I never went skating there. Once we were walking by the hedges in front of the rink, she grabbed me and ducked behind two bushes. I stuck my head out to see what was going on. A taxi filled with sailors had just pulled up to the curb. The sailors piled on top of two Mexican boys. The boys wore drapes, the tutu pants that were so much in vogue during those years. The sailors beat the crap out of those boys. A three-car conductor yelled at them to stop. One of the sailors called out, "These Mexican pachucos are raping our wives while we're off fighting in the war." My mother held me tight. I could hear her whisper in my ear, "And your Uncle Efren is in the foxhole somewhere in Italy fighting for this country." One of the guys that got so beat up was Fernie Pacheco. He lived three houses away from us. Later, he joined the paratroopers and was killed sometime near the end of the war. My mother had very little formal education. She got fourth grade before she had to quit school to work. She washed dishes at a Chinese restaurant. The owner used to warn her not to go in front because she would scare the customers away. He tried to seduce her one night. My mother resisted and got fired for her effort. A little later in the war, she got the job at Monterey Gardens. It was a pseudo-Mexican restaurant on Broadway near First Street. Los Angeles had four dailies then: the Times, the Daily News, the Herald, the Los Angeles Express, and La Opinion. The newspaper buildings were all clustered in the same area near the restaurant. With all those newspapers and the railroad depot right down the street, the place was crawling with reporters, war correspondents, and GIs. They crowded into the Monterey Gardens for some Spanish food, as they euphemistically called it. Mom was a real looker in those days, and she would good-naturedly put down the reporters, and she has a temp to pinch her butt while saving her tips in large mayonnaise jars. I used to go to the restaurant after school to help her make coleslaw carrot salad next day and to help her count her tips. The house we lived in cost $3,500. That was a lot of money in those days. A working man could expect to earn about $8 a month. My mother saved her tips and paid for her house before the end of the war. She also saved a sign she tore down from a house that she once had thought of renting. It read, "For rent, no dogs, no Mexicans." After the war, a few people from the barrio formed an active group called Community Service Organization. My mother was right there. At first, they devoted themselves to getting streetlights and paved streets into the Mexican neighborhoods. As time went on, they got a little more militant and spoke out against police brutality and political corruption. Cesar Chavez, one of the farm workers, United Farm Workers president, had been one part of that group. They have get Chicanos elected to office, like Ed Roybal, who was running for Congress. By that city council. Last year, I became active in the Chicano movement because of early training I had from my mother's knee. Don't think Mama stopped being liberal just because of her advancing age either. I came home one day from Laguna Park. I had a big chichon on my head. The police had rioted that day, and I got in the way of a stormtrooper's boot. It was the day Lorenzo Alzada was killed. Calmly applying cold compresses to my swollen noggin, with a gleam in her eye, Mom leaned close to my ear and asked, "Did you get in a few licks, mijito?" I'm just a loco mulacho now, but every now and then I think of my mother trying to get her Chicanos to register to vote, stuffing envelopes to get the right politicians elected, and telling the high school counselor to get screwed when he tried to channel me to trade school. Doing her own sewing, cutting my hair, ironing for others, scrounging the garbage bins at the Sizzler for meat scraps for her dog, snitching, cutting from Mary Pickford Pepper geraniums, and singing Mexican revolutionary songs for my enjoyment of the ways that I remember her best. And she'd roll over in her grave, if I forgot to mention, her Chile Verde, and that she was the first lady on the block to learn how to do the mambo.